I'm Cyndi Lauper. My psoriasis was all over, even on my scalp, which may mean four times the risk for psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx works on both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB. Serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. Cosentyx may lower ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
All right, welcome to another Sports Injury Central podcast, now on the Believe Network. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And Jacob's here, Taylor's here, in season. We don't really do any guests. Remind me next year, we got so many guests I run into. Like, Takeo Spikes was like the special guest in Buffalo.
Yeah.
We should get Takeo in here. He's a good dude. Intelligent, lot to say, like thickest neck I've ever seen.
Oh, I was about to say, I was doing a game, you know, they do the immaculate, you know, baseball thing. I knew what the guest was just based off his profile. His neck, it's crazy.
He's a beast. I can tell you some good Takeo stories.
Yeah. He spent a year with the Niners. I think it was him and Navarro Bowman were our linebackers for a couple of years. So that was a good times.
Remind me, we'll bring in Takeo.
Yeah,
and,
that's a good fun. Yeah.
And, so many others, but we don't have time in season for all this, so let's just head straight for it. I'm sure we'll cover all the topics.
Unfortunately, the guest is the injuries, and unfortunately it's a recurrent guest in the NFL, so there's plenty to talk about this week. We'll get to Saquon a little bit in our Thursday night preview, but want to start with the three main fantasy names. Again, you can get the rest at Sick Insights at the website sixcore.com. that's where we have all the latest on your fantasy stars. But let's start with Joe Burrow. He's going to be a ongoing topic of conversation. We already got the update about the line drop from +6.5. They play Monday against the Rams. It's now at +2. So there's some tea leaves that, oh, is Burrow going to sit? Is the calf? I mean, we said the calf was going to linger, but then people are surprised that it lingered, kind of re-aggravated after that touchdown pass to T. Higgins late in the fourth quarter. Came off Gampy, was using the Theragun or whatever it's called on the sideline, which we saw that in week 1, I think, too. But this one seemed more significant.
Well, it's interesting. A couple things. First of all, if he restrained it, I don't know why you're using the Theragun. That's to loosen it up. Yeah. Okay. I mean, who knows? Okay.
Force of habit.
Maybe. Okay. So what do we know about calf injuries? They linger and chance to re-aggravate. The June 27th. Now, does anyone believe the coach speak of mild or grade 1? Nobody buys that at this point in time, right? It was at least grade 2. That's why he missed all the training camp. We were fully confident he would play week 1, and he did, and he seemed to survive the wet weather and all the sacks. but now week two, he aggravates it towards the end. So here's our thing. So what we've been on record saying is this is going to bother him well into October.
Right.
Okay. How much is the question? And this is where I think requires, like, I wish we did a show, and I've talked about it with other, talked about it with several people, Mark Dominic, Pat Kerwin, you know, even Bill Polian.
Oh, this is your roundtable idea.
How cool would it be to have Norv Turner and a GM, and the team doctor talking about injuries and how you make decisions in terms of what's going on.
Right.
So let me try and put that into context here. Look, we said all along Joe Burrow is not 100%. Return to play, though, is not that simple. We've always said it's a three-headed monster. Medical has to say, okay. The player has to say, I'm good with it. And the team has to be good with it. And I'll give you some examples again. If medical says no, it's a hard overrule. But who in medical makes the decision? Is it the head team physician? Sometimes. Is it the physical therapist? Sometimes. Is it the head athletic trainer? Sometimes.
Just depends on the injury, or?
It depends on the injury, but it also depends on the dynamic.
Okay.
Like, who in the building has the final say and voice related to medical?
Is it a new head coach? Is it a longtime head coach?
Well, forget the head coach, just the medical side of things. Okay. Is it? Sometimes it's usually an orthopedist. And if it's a decision related to internal medicine or concussions, the head team physician is deferring to the primary care doctor or the concussion specialist. Now, if it's a hamstring, it may be more functional, right? If it's a return from surgery, it might be the surgeon who's not even in the building,
right?
So it's not always the same, but medical basically gets one vote. And really, you could call it a veto vote, because a vote yes doesn't mean the guy's playing. It's a vote no means they're not playing. They have to be unanimous. That's why I call it veto. It's sort of like, in theory, Congress, the president, and the Supreme Court, right? Each has quotes.
Checks and balances.
Right? Checks and balances, yeah. Veto power. Yeah. The player. Is it always just the player? No. Sometimes it's the agent. Sometimes it's the dad or the wife, or the someone who's influencing them, or this, that, the other, but it's the player vote.
Right.
And then the team. Sometimes it's maybe ownership. We can't get that guy hurt. There's a freaking large injury guarantee and we're moving on. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to be on the hook for $30 million. Not going to name names or whatever, but that's possible. Sometimes it's the GM saying, guys, we can't do this. Sometimes it's the head coach. Sometimes it's the coordinator or the position coach. Sometimes it's strategy. Hey, we got to buy next week. Let's get one more week of rest and we're going to be better. And then, like coaching decision, even though medical says you're good and the player says, let's go, the coach may say, no, let's hold you back. Sometimes you may say, look, we got a buy coming next. We really need you this week because of scheme. Let's go. Right. Kind of thing. So, getting off track here. There's a lot that goes into this discussion, more than just what it seems. And the same injury on a different team at a different point in the season has a different result. So let's look at the Bengals here, and let's put the facts out on the line. The calf injury has re-aggravated. It is his back foot. Bigger deal for push-off. No runs the first week.
I think it was one for -1 and then one week two for 5 yards. So basically no runs. Yeah.
Yeah. And you want Joe Burrow in the pocket anyways. This is no offense to Lamar Jackson, but if it's Lamar Jackson, you're not going to play him.
Yeah.
That's why Kyler Murray, we're saying you need that extra element and dynamic. Joe Burrow in the pocket is still potentially worth playing. Now, if they were 2-0, and had Brandon Allen, and he re-aggravated it, that might be an easier decision to sit him. They're 0-2, and they don't have Brandon Allen.
Jake Browning is his name, yeah.
Who has never started a game in the NFL. Now, I'm not degrading Jake Browning.
But that's a part of the decision. That's a lot to throw a guy in.
It's part of the decision-making process. Now, if you said more of the decision-making process, if you said, guys, resting him this 1 week and he will now be good to go the rest of the way.
Cap is behind him. We don't have to worry.
I think everyone would say, let's rest him. Not true. An additional week is not going to cure this. Remember, this is a July 27th calf strain where he basically rested to week one and in week two has aggravated it. Do you think 1 week is going to put this whole thing behind him? No.
Can't escape the re-aggravation right now.
Not even the extra day of Monday. Does that mean he's more likely to play? I mean, it's like you said, it's been a month. What is one extra day give you?
Exactly. Yeah. One extra day. Right. I mean, look, is it smarter for the long term to not play him this week? Yes. Okay. And if this were there are two games up in the division, he would rest. Remember Dak Prescott? That game in Minnesota two years ago, was a surprise rest, and then he rested some more, you know, in the calf.
And Cooper Rush came
Cooper
in.
Cooper Rush came in.
Took over.
Yes.
Experienced backup.
The whole media thought he was going to play through that, but we,
But that's what I mean by this is what goes on behind the scenes
in
our roundtable idea. And this is why what we're trying to add, and I'm trying to wear all hats here, right? I mean, I wish we could just – you know, have
it's a three-factor authorization.
But the only reason we haven't done that is, you know, the scheduling between.
You got to get four people together for, that's
four people with busy schedules together in a timely fashion.
We're lucky we get you to sit down for an hour.
We barely get talks sometimes.
Yeah, so it's that all have other things going on. That's really what it is. So I'm convinced if 1 week's rest would cure him, they would do it. But 1 week's rest is not.
Right.
So I get the line moved and the whole thing. And who knows? In the building, the decision probably is not made yet because, you know, you're going to wait to see how he looks on Wednesday. You know,
I think he said he wants a couple more sleeps on it before Burrow says if he's good to go or not. I think that was the correct
quote. And Burrow will have a vote. If he says, coach, I don't think I can make it. No one's going to force. Look, no one can. Not just because he has a guaranteed contract, but you can never force anyone.
I was going to say there's so many angles to it. We could spend a whole podcast on Burrow, but the fact that the deal is already done is probably not that takes it out as a factor. If the extension was still hanging over and then there's all this stuff.
I don't know how much it does. I mean, are you going to really let a calf? I mean,
get in the way of
this whole big thing. I mean, I don't know how much it would get in the way. But my point is this. So what's their out? I mean, if Joe Burrow is trying to wait another 3 weeks, and if that leads to 0-5, I mean,
that's huge. Yeah,
it's huge, right? Now, if there was a chance of permanent injury or damage, you have to shut him down. But that's not the case.
Right.
It's just more lingering problems.
So if you keep on re-aggravating, it doesn't permanately damage.
No, it will not. You still get better in an offseason.
It's more annoying. Yeah.
So I think there's a couple of possible outcomes. If they go the route of resting him, that rest may be more than 1 week. Factor that into your decision-making. I get the line has moved, okay? I'm just going by medically. Now, the other factor is you can't just run him out there like you are, right? Is there a fix the offensive line? Probably not that quickly. If they play him, which they still may. I expect him fully to have an AFO, ankle foot orthosis, maybe even a dynamic one, or a special brace and or elastic tape to help him with his push off there. And yes, it might limit his mobility a little bit, not to shuffle, but to run. But he's not running anyways, and you don't want him to run.
Right.
What is an AFO exactly? Just to clarify.
Ankle foot orthosis. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll have producer
trying to get you in the weeds here.
No.
We went CC's Google, last week, so now we're AFO.
Google a picture of Dan Marino back in the day.
Oh, with his Achilles.
And his Achilles.
Yes.
And what he had there.
Definitely.
Okay. Now I get it. He's hobbling around. But maybe that's the compromise. Let's protect and help the calf. And By the way, I know the Bengals head athletic trainer, super good guy, very talented, young. Well, I mean, anyone younger
compared to
anyone younger than me is young. I mean, he's been in the NFL. He's been in college. He's young to me because I knew him as an intern. Okay. Yep. So Matt, you will forever be young.
You can't grow up to you right now. You know? Yeah.
The definition of young is younger than me. Yep. So he is forever young. Yep. He is a very experienced and top athletic trainer. Yep. This is his second year with the Bengals. They had a head athletic trainer that had been there for like 30, 40 years, wow, you know, prior to that. And so they're in good hands. He knows all this. They know all of this. That's part of the discussions that they're going to have in the room. And if it were so simple as rest 1 week and you're good, I think he rests.
Right.
But the problem doesn't go away. So if you're the Bengals and you're the GM and the head coach and you're Joe Burrow participating in this in medical, okay, what's best for him to rest this week? But you have to play chess. What about next week? Yes, it's to rest next week too. Well, we can't have that. We can't have 3 weeks of rest, 4 weeks of rest. Mm-hmm. So what are we now going to do? Now, if they're saying we're going to try PRP and now he needs a week of rest for PRP and then we'll go play him with an AFO, that's possible. There's a lot of different routes that this could go, but it's much too simplistic to say the Bengals are dumb if they don't rest him this week. They just need to rest him this week. What about next week? That's all I'm saying. The decision is multifactorial.
Their bye week is week 7. There's no way they rest him that long, correct? I know you were saying sometimes they play it safe. It is sooner than later. It's not a late bye week.
I mean, if you're talking permanent damage, you rest them that longer, but you know, because it's just aggravation of a muscle injury that you ultimately can get better at from, you really want to rest them. What do you think their record is if they rest them through the bye week? I mean, do they even have a shot anymore? Well, I don't know.
No, I will say I'm looking at the schedule right now. They have the Rams, Titans, Cardinals, and Seattle. Arguably, that's a winnable
group of games. I get the line has moved off of some speculation or rumor.
4 points, yeah.
I guarantee you this. In the Bengals building, the decision has not been made yet.
So the books are making a decision, but the Bengals are
now,
not.
Yeah. Has information leaked that there's a significant possibility?
I think Schefter said fair to wonder, and I think that's
okay. Schefter's saying fair to wonder. I agree, it's fair to wonder 100%. Yeah. Now, maybe there's more to it. Maybe Schefter's great, he's got the greatest sources. Maybe the agent has said, look, I'm pushing him to play the long game.
Am I choosing to work carefully?
I
right
don't
now.
Know. Yeah.
But that's only the window into one vote, like we've been talking about. So
it's one vote, and Joe Burrow's a team player. He's not trying to, I got my contract, I'm gonna do what I want.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm just saying this is a complicated decision that I'm trying to give the everyday listener a window into the world of. The decision has been made. I think it's right. They're gonna give it a couple of sleeps and see where he's at. If he's just as bad as he looked at the end of the game, maybe the decision is made. There's just no choice. Even though 1 week doesn't put it behind him, you just need the week to be functional, right? So it remains to be seen. It's too early to say that a decision's been made. All the information is not here yet, and I'm just trying to focus on that a little bit. So I don't know where the lines ends up if he ultimately doesn't play. I get it. 4-point line moves huge, indicates that there's some significant worry. But we had that worry last night that, you know, and we were saying last night, it's going to affect him into October.
Right.
Isn't that enough to make people worried? So any other questions or thoughts on that before we move on?
Let's get to another big fantasy quarterback name. Anthony Richardson, first quarter rushing touchdowns, first Colt to do that since Edgerrin James in 1999. Then had the concussion, the head whipped back on the second one. We wrote an article that the turf played a role, not the only role, but turf is a harder playing surface in that. We have him at 6'4", 30. Why do you think it's a little more of an uphill climb for him to play this week?
Okay. Our standard 6'4" for a concussion is 50 because statistically over the years, it's about 50-50 to return in 1 week. And we do think Devontae Adams has a good chance to return.
Correct.
His score is 50 right now, right. And it may raise as the week goes. It is a daily thing.
They've already announced that he's, I know he said he's good to go, but they're saying,
yeah, he's got to clear the protocols.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't mean.
So I'm not ready to, right, to move.
We're not
him
saying
from
he's good. Yeah, yeah.
You know, if he gets an LP on Wednesday, Thursday,
he's on
FP,
the right track.
He's progressing.
We're gonna,
yeah, yeah,
we're going to move him up.
Correct.
But yes, Davante Adams has a reasonable chance. It was a bad hit, but it was late in the game, and one can ask,
score.
Was he even, yeah, should he even, right, have been in the game anyways? That's, yeah, a whole different discussion. Now, Anthony Richardson, why do we say his score is 30? Full disclosure, I'm not a head injury expert. Concussions are like snowflakes. No two are the same. I'm just reading the tea leaves, knowing the protocol, knowing what happens here and what's going on. We'll talk about this side first. Then we'll talk about the PR and bad look side. Remind me. So Shane Steichen said it happened on the second touchdown. We in our quote war room missed it. We got eight games going on. We didn't see it. I didn't see it. Saw the touchdown, didn't follow through, didn't see it. And Shane Steichen said it was that play. We do see that play. It's his head on the back of the turf, much like Tua did, mm-hmm, last year. Artificial grass turf is harder than regular grass. Would he have gotten a concussion on grass? Maybe. Mm-hmm. But definitely a bigger role for the turf in that. And yes, I know he plays a turf at home too. This is an away game, blah, blah, blah. But bigger factor here than what everyone had said about Aaron Rodgers. I can't say that he wouldn't have gotten a concussion. I'm not saying that, but a bigger factor. Now, and I've been a proponent of grass overall, but I was just saying don't blame the Aaron Rodgers on the surface. Now, here's the other thing. The typical profile of someone who returns to play is momentary symptoms, clears quickly, passes all tests, Davante Adams-like as it's sort of heading, and returns to play. Anthony Richardson, look, you can argue, and I'm not saying this as a criticism, but you can argue that's what the spotter system was built for. There should have been a buzz
should
down
called,
for a check.
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't see that on TV when you went back and looked.
There was maybe, a commercial in the middle.
There was a commercial. Yes, so yeah, maybe they went real quick and checked. So right, we're not saying that we
it
know
didn't
all.
Happen. Yeah.
But I would say that the eye in the sky spotter system was made for plays like that. You cannot ask the team physicians and athletic trainers to see at ground level 30 plus yards away. And I don't know what side of the field they're on, but you know, you're seeing through bodies ground level to see that. That's asking a lot.
Yeah.
But the spotter is supposed to, and there's multiple, they're supposed to see that. Oh, we got spotters here. We didn't see it either. Yeah. So it is what
how
it
many
is.
Spotters are there per game? Does there, do we
there's
know that?
Three.
Three. Okay.
One for each team and then a neuro person and then, yeah, a video person,
okay,
you know,
yeah, yeah,
to try and help him with video up in the booth. So in any case, and maybe they checked him and he cleared, but he played two more series.
33 plays in between.
Two,
total.
Three and outs. Mm-hmm. And 33 total plays happened between that touchdown and when Gardner Minshew came into the game.
Yeah.
That in elapsed time, throwing in TV timeouts, is close to 30 minutes. Okay. That is the definition of either prolonged symptoms or delayed onset of symptoms. Mm-hmm. Now, it's possible Anthony Richardson felt nothing in the two series and then reported. It's possible he felt a little off and then decided to finally report it. Either way, he was clearly having symptoms when he reported it. So that puts it at least at the 20-minute mark. And that in and of itself is enough to put next week's game against the Ravens in serious doubt. Concussions can go either way. He could clear very clearly. But look, I'm an orthopedist. I never evaluated concussions officially in the NFL, but I was in charge of the people who did.
Right.
So I know the process and see what they did. And I was, as the orthopedist, wasn't the guy.
It's not
do
your
it.
Specialty, but you know how to handle
but,
it.
But I went to the concussion conferences right. that the NFL had. I was mandatory to go to these things and to learn about it and knew all the rules and know what the protocol is, know what's, you know, you don't have to be the guy to know what's happening. Like,
right.
it's almost like, you know, a lot of corporations have in-house counsel that oversee the litigation, but they're not actually doing the litigation,
yeah, right?
And they know what's happening. The same role here. And with that, I think it's in serious doubt that he clears the play. Now let's get to the PR side. He's a huge young talent. He's a quarterback. Already, it wasn't picked up immediately. The injury looks a little bit like Tua. Everyone is going to cross every I and dot every T, as they should on every player.
Right.
But specifically this
when
one.
There's media attention, fantasy attention, all that. Yeah. It adds to it.
It adds to the pressure of
to do it right.
To do it. Well, there's always pressure to do it right. Don't get me wrong. And no one's, I'm not saying.
In the Tua situation, I remember you said the neuro doesn't want to be, he wants to make sure it's 120%. He doesn't want to be the one that was wrong and then sends him out there and something else happens to him.
And right? Ultimately, the independent neuro who's not with the team is the final say. Mm-hmm. If that independent neuro says no, there's it's no over. Way they're getting any grief. They're anonymous. And if they say yes and there's a problem, here we go.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And so that's what happened in Miami.
Exactly.
Right.
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Just don't see it for that reason. I hope I'm wrong. I hope he gets on a rocket ship and clears.
Right.
But that's the unfair advantage that we have at Sports Injury Central. Having been on the other side of the equation,
right.
Having been in the room in these discussions, I think it's insight. It's hard to get without that. What we always say, insider knowledge, not insider information. Look, I talked to unrelated to anything football.
Yes, sir.
Here about another patient to a Colts doctor. I'm not going to even say who, and it wasn't related to Anthony Richardson. We didn't have a single question about Anthony Richardson. We had no questions about the Colts. We talked about life in general, and he was referring a patient for something else unrelated to the NFL,
right.
Nor would I ever ask him. So it's never insider information. It's always just insider knowledge of the process.
Correct.
And no way, shape, or form did I ask or even pry or gain anything or not even close to on this situation. And if I had, he probably would have hung up on me.
Right.
Okay.
Just like, avoid the situation. Like,
they don't play around with that stuff.
Or say, and it's HIPAA. I would do that to anyone else. Yeah. That's why we don't ever do that. Look, the head trainer for the Bengals every time. I know him really, really well. I'm not texting him about Joe Burrow. Yes. What do you think is going to happen?
Right.
He wouldn't tell me.
He's got enough.
Hi, I'm Cyndi Lauper. My scalp was covered with psoriasis, which could lead to psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx treats both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB. Serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. Cosentyx may lower ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX.
Cosentyx works for me.
Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
going on to add that.
And on top of that, I think he should rightfully be offended if that I do that.
That you want to use
and
that
I would not do
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
That's not what we do here right. in terms of what's going on. So anyways.
I wanted to bring up a player we probably gonna mention later is David Montgomery. So he said in his press conference yesterday, it will take his leg weeks to heal. You know, he had the thigh bruise. Today, Dan Campbell said he's day-to-day, and it appears. So that seems like they're not
him in my player speak segment. Okay, I was going to make coach speak, player speak.
All right. Can you guys rehearse this a little bit and work this out?
No, Taylor read the rundown.
Good. It's good. The player speak became coach speak, so we're good. We'll jump there. So he kind of got gator rolled a little bit. They're holding on to his leg, and then guy came in late with I think it was a helmet to the thigh that caused him to go out and car to the locker room,
and you guys,
on the knee and all that stuff.
You guys, in the room, like initially the clips that were shown to me, I didn't even see the late guy coming in. And
we'll give you different angles and slow.
Yeah, that's
and
why
stuff.
We,
yeah.
The more information, the better.
Right.
The more, the better. And who had a famous gator roll last
Chris
year?
Carson. It was 2 years ago.
Yes.
And it looks bad, but usually the gator rolls don't actually inflict damage. That's why we were optimistic.
He didn't miss a game that time either, and people thought he did. Yeah,
we were optimistic on David Montgomery here on this pseudo gator roll. Look, the thigh bruise has to be pretty distal, which by where the ice was, and obviously he was done and he was carted off. Let me tell you, at this point in time, we talk about coach speak. I mean, yes, Dan Campbell's a coach. Maybe it's coach speak day to day. But he's kind of an off-the-cuff guy, right?
Yeah, he's
a little depends on how many cups of coffee he's had, right? But I like him.
Yeah.
He's refreshing.
He's authentic, right? Yeah, he's not hiding.
And I don't doubt David Montgomery either. It probably hurt like the dickens.
On Sunday, yeah.
And he probably was very stiff.
Okay.
And he said, oh my gosh, this is going to be weeks. But thigh bruise, especially distal, if you get it under control and you get early range of motion. My question is, if you talk to David Montgomery today, would he say the same thing?
Right.
You're right.
Yeah. I don't know.
They're asking him after a late loss. He's dejected.
And it hurt like crazy and he was stiff and in the treatment overnight and early, and maybe they controlled the sweat. Don't know. I would say that David Montgomery made it almost seem like he was headed for IR. Yeah. He didn't say those words.
No, but he sounded like it was multiple weeks. You know, it sounded
I'm more optimistic from the get-go.
From what we saw by video.
Yeah. And my man Dan Campbell backs this up. So here's a case where you could say coach speak, but I don't know.
I don't think they're either going against each other. I think
is somewhere in the middle, and it's a time-based thing, and the coach is leaving out hope. But day-to-day can turn in week to week, but it's not going to be weeks to week / months, right? I would say David Montgomery will for sure play in October a chance to play in September where I'm at.
Right.
Okay.
On David Montgomery. So if you're happy that you got him low in fantasy, hang on to him.
don't kick him to the waiver wire just yet.
That's
where everyone's eyes are, because Jahmyr Gibbs involved more in the passing game, didn't get as much on the running game. But if Montgomery's out, he's the clear doing both. So let's get to the Thursday game real quick. We've gone a while without talking about Saquon, but we had our latest analysis up on the website. We saw the high ankle. Their team's hesitant to call it a high ankle, but he got rolled up on in a pile late in the fourth quarter, limping pretty good. Just set the table. Left ankle was the 2 years ago, and 3 years ago was a right ACL. So this is the right side. No previous ankle problems on this side. Previous ankle problems on the left side. Quick Thursday turnaround. Any shot at that?
Also, can you say it's high by video?
Any shot at that?
Yeah.
Well, there is a...
There's a shot.
Shot
at that. like a blank shot?
No. As in an injection to numb up the syndesmosis. Yeah. There is a shot of that.
That's cute. There you go.
But, I mean, it's been done before, and, we'll see.
Take the heck out of it, and he just runs one-legged.
But, in this health and safety era, shots to play have become a little less common. Mm-hmm. No, nothing negative on any of the players. By video, this is a high ankle sprain.
There you go.
Unless you produce new video. Yes, we did not actually see the ankle under the pile of bodies.
Right.
But the way the force came, et cetera, that's a high ankle sprain. Now, I get it. The Giants have said optimism, x-rays negative, sprained not expecting ankle. A lot, sprained ankle. There was even some hint at low ankle. I don't know. Are the Giants just trying to avoid saying the word? I think high ankle has such a negative connotation.
I think it does.
Remember last year in the playoffs? I'm like, Patrick Williams is a high ankle sprain.
They're like, oh my God, he's out.
He's out for 6 weeks. Yes. Super. No. Yes. There's different levels, different things.
Yep.
And yes, I think it's a high ankle sprain by video. That's all I can go by video. And I think Thursday is a tall task.
Do you think if they would have lost that game on Sunday, great comeback, by the way, do you think they would have forced him to play Thursday? Or is that,
what is Aaron Rodgers and Joe Burrow says, relax. No one forces anyone 2 games into the season. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Relax. Okay. It's a long,
it was getting scary. No points in like 6 quarters. I was getting a little worried, but no, I understand what you're saying.
You all in the room didn't believe me. I'm like, look, the injuries say the injuries. The Giants are still the better team.
No, you're right.
There's a chance. Look, here's where I fully expect the MRI there to be a rosy approach for the MRI. Not a lot of damage, no significant damage, no structural damage. There's going to be something. And I don't think anyone's ever going to come out and say high ankle on this because it's just too much of a negative.
And they already said x-rays were negative already, right?
Yeah, as expected.
Yes.
But Thursday, quick turnaround. Look, there's no guarantee for week 4 at this point in time. You got to see the trajectory.
So you're saying Sunday, if they would have played the Niners on Sunday, he probably missing two?
Look, right now,
I know I think he's
he's in the doubtful
for Thursday. Yeah.
Maybe doubtful the out category,
but doubtful for Sunday. Maybe if he was playing
for Sunday, he might've been straight doubtful.
Okay.
For the following week four, maybe he squeaks into questionable.
Okay.
But at this point, certainly anticipating and hopeful that it's not a 4 week IR.
And they play on Monday, you said week 4. So it is, I know maybe extra day don't matter. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And then remember, return to play does not mean 100%.
Right.
Travis Kelce, DeAndre, how we can get to all that. I don't know what you have in store.
Right.
Return to play does not mean 100%.
Right. Well, fire up Matt Breida if Saquon can't go. It'll be an interesting dynamic. Maybe Daniel Jones runs a little more. So we'll have that covered on the website.
You can fire Matt Breida.
I'm desperate. I don't know. let's get to a little bit more of the Thursday. Brandon Ayuk had that shoulder deal on the first catch by video. I think initially we said AC joint, but then kind of came out that they were massaging the neck and
AC joint slash trap or some muscle.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think he's going to be able to play.
Seemed like he missed some blocking downs, but he still was involved in target share and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, but the question is, how much will he be involved in the game plan this week if he's a little limited during the week? And it's a short week,
right?
In terms of preparation.
Mm-hmm. McCaffrey, we saw that little clip of his knee scared down the sideline. It's Christian McCaffrey, so I got to ask you. I'm sorry, Doc.
I know, you're Mr. 49ers. Yeah, let's just hope he didn't. I don't see anything big time by video, but let's just make sure that he didn't re-aggravate the patella tendonitis that lingered a little bit last season. That would be the only caveat there.
He did have 12 more runs after for 28 yards, so limited effectiveness, but still was involved in the game plan, passing game and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They didn't even run Elijah Mitchell in that game. So the other only one affecting that game is left guard Ben Bredesen, concussion. So on a short turnaround, nearly impossible to clear. Yeah.
I mean,
the Giants run game is going to be affected a lot. It sounds like left guard and running back. Yeah.
Well, maybe by the D-line of the 49ers, too.
Yep. Unders, yeah.
Let's just touch on Travis Kelce.
Yes.
Travis Kelce's bone bruise is not the same bone bruise as Anthony Richardson, which is why we said
Richardson's
going to be fine, and he was fine before the concussion. Travis Kelce, one of our biggest, easiest plays of the week, was under 77.5 yards. Clearly, he wasn't 100%. And our six score was 71.
Mm-hmm.
You could argue we might have been a smidge high. Maybe he should have been in the 60s.
He scored, but like that's it.
Four catches, 26, and a touchdown.
On nine targets. Yeah.
Similar target share that he always gets. But
they were trying to get it to him. Yeah. And red zone, targets, yeah. And he wasn't in on many consecutive plays.
He's usually a chain mover. He can get those 15, those 20s, and that wasn't happening.
And he wasn't catching balls down the field. He didn't have the explosiveness.
Correct.
And it fit what we said, right? We said, it doesn't make sense to me that you can have a deep bone bruise, draw 45 cc's of blood, and all of a sudden in just under 2 weeks be full go 100%. I was a little surprised that he was cleared to play, but that could be due to the location of the bone bruise. So I'm not saying it was a bad medical decision. We don't have the MRIs and what have you, but I just like, there's no way he can be 100%.
What's a better spot for it, even though it's deep? Like what's the, for the
well, game? A spot that isn't going to engage in every run, what's jump little, and play, yeah, you know, in an edge of the knee, as opposed to the central area. Look, what's the better spot for there be a brown spot on a football field, at the 50-yard line or the corner of the end zone or along the sideline? Right. Okay. I mean, middle of the field or, you know, whatever. So there's better spots for that to happen. And so that is completely unknown. There was never even any video.
You're less inclined with the 45 cc's of blood now, I guess, with the him playing week two. Is it more like you said, it was the fluid, maybe like tinged fluid,
blood tinged fluid, whatever. But the bottom line is, he's going to be better next week, but I don't know that he's full next week either at this point in time. And, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, no practice all week. We said
the mild ankle.
Mild ankle.
Yeah.
But he didn't practice all week, which is
Didn't practice all week, new team, high ankle, all reasons to say he wasn't going to be. The Titans won.
Yeah.
Ryan Tannehill played
Chargers,
well.
Yeah.
what's his name? Picked up this, like Treylon Burks picked up.
Yeah. 70 yard catch. Yeah.
And, you know, is what it is.
You guys are jumping my segments. You already said two of the good prop
but
calls.
But we didn't say the one, though. I saw like, it.
I like my favorite of the week is the Breece Hall under 38.5 rushing yards.
Translation.
We don't read the rundown.
Okay.
I'm
reading Jacob's eyes.
All this prep I'm doing.
I know. He does all this prep. Why don't you read the email? Yep. All the prep he's doing. We're jumping the shark here. Okay. Breece Hall.
Yep.
So 4 carries, 9 yards. First week was 10 carries, 127.
Okay. I said on a Jets podcast, and I said last week, I guess I haven't said it here. Week one, Breece Hall, I was wrong.
Ish.
Well, wrong. Okay. I said Dalvin Cook over Breece Hall.
You did. If people sat Breece Hall week one, they're mad.
They're mad
That's
at
true.
Me.
That's true. I'll take that.
So week one, wrong.
Right.
Dalvin Cook had 13 carries for much fewer yards.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Breece Hall had 10 carries for
127.
109 on the first two.
83 on one. Yep.
No question exceeded expectations. But here's what I said on the Jets podcast late week. I mean, look, I didn't even see the runs because I was so preoccupied with Aaron Rodgers and all that stuff. Yes. Okay. So I have to say I was wrong about Breece Hall week one. But I said, look, he's not that back yet. Not that you can just take away two runs. What that told me when I went back and looked at video is that he's got really good speed. He's done a great job at rehab. He's probably ahead of where I put him. But he's not the guy and ready to go yet still based on deceleration, cutting, getting through holes. I mean, if you take away those two breakaway runs, he didn't do that well. It's hard to parse that. So this week – you could say he's not as bad as he was this week. 4 carries for 9 yards. Game script. They got away from running the ball.
Right.
Offensive line issues. Good defense from the
Cowboys.
Cowboys.
Recipe for disaster in the run game.
You know, the bottom line is he didn't get the chances. Breece Hall is neither as good as he was in week one or as bad as he was in week two. He's somewhere in between.
Yes.
Okay. Now, we may accelerate, and I may accelerate his trajectory to saying that he's going to be good to go, and we'll see how it goes. I expect week three to be somewhere in between. But you have to understand, even in week one when they won, Dalvin Cook got most of the carries. And this is after, look, when you do very well, I mean, once you let a guy on the field – I always say it's like giving the teenager the keys to the car. You can set the curfew, but they're coming home when they want to come home. And once you give coaches the opportunity to play them, they can play them however they want to. Yet even with those two early runs in week one, it was Breece 10 carries, Dalvin Cook 13. That should tell you something. They're being smart with him, that he's not 100%, et cetera, et cetera. look, he's way better than I put him out to be. No question. But he's not as bad as he was in week two either. So
is there some long-term consideration there? I mean, they said after that 10 carry, 127, that they're still going to have him on a pitch count. He only had four carries here. Are they playing maybe the long game since they know that their offense is going to have to be running based?
Yeah, I think that may be part of it. And let's put it this way. Even if Breece Hall, look, Dalvin's not looked that good so far.
I was going to say, just a needle, you doc. Dalvin, four carries, 7 yards. So Breece is better in week one and two. But I won't.
That's 40 yards yeah. on 17 carries in two games. Not great. Look, yeah.
And the fumble.
Yeah.
Look, Scott Fishbowl, I've got Aaron Rodgers. Okay. So you can't do anymore.
Who do we Dylan. Have this week, though, Doc? We have Gardner Minshew.
All right. Here we go. Anyways.
Yeah.
Let's celebrate.
Yeah. You know,
that's actually the super flex spot.
Yes.
But yeah. Still. In any case, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, Dalvin Cook's not been as good, but like, across the 32 teams, how many teams have a three down back?
Yeah. It's becoming less and less every year. You ask that every year, and it's less number every year. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is like assuming you're healthy. So there's a split in usage.
And Dalvin was one of the last threes, I think, now. I think after leaving Minnesota, that's a lesser, you know, so you are losing them.
Just to get the bad call real quick, Puka Nacua under 45.5. That's on all of us. We bit the midweek oblique. Maybe it's rib related. Maybe he's not going to be a big part of the game plan. 20 targets, 15 catches, 147. He is the quickest to two 10 catch games.
Yeah. And 20 catches.
So
I know you all joked about it in game, but like, Cooper Kupp's a system wide receiver.
Yeah. I keep saying
I don't know what that is. I think we need more info.
I watched him at BYU. He's a really good. This is different, right? He's a, you know, astronomical start.
I mean, kudos awesome. To the Rams. Stafford found so many clicks with right away. So
no, kudos to both of them. It's great. But,
and he catches with his hands, not his chest, Doc, which is what you've taught me is a key part of receiving.
There's a different Rams wide receiver that likes to do that.
Bottom line is we were pretty good on the props this week
based
on, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, Breece Hall, Travis Kelce, all unders there. We were 7-3?
Props. Six and four on props.
Yeah. 13 and seven altogether.
13 and seven overall, including a lot of good in-game action and so forth. Injury basis, we're not handicappers. I'm not, anyways.
I feel bad for whoever's setting Breece Hall's number next week because I don't know where you pull that out of.
45.5.
All right, there's Taylor's number.
Somewhere
in the
middle.
Is that just because I mentioned it as Puka's number?
Yeah, it's the number right in front of me. I brain jumped to it.
Obviously, the oblique didn't bother Puka
right.
the cow at all.
Yeah.
Well, since you jumped my coach speak segment, I'll go to my B move, which is Aaron Rodgers' innovative bridge procedure on the Achilles. I got to give you the floor to talk about that.
The speed
talk.
Bridge.
That's not coach speak. That's reporter speak.
Yes.
Okay. Let me just get this straight. Immediately after confirmation of Aaron Rodgers' Achilles, I said on Twitter, there's a snowball's chance that he could return. It's not 100% done. And people are like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
And now with this report, oh, there's a chance that he could return. Look.
In January.
If he returns, it will have basically nothing to do with the innovative technique. I'm not poo-pooing the technique. I've tried it before. It's not new. It's well over a decade old. It's established. If the doctor chose to use that technique, there's nothing wrong with it, but that's not the magic that will get him back. Speed Bridge. What a great, sexy name.
It really is. Right?
It's great marketing it's not new and different.
It's the internal brace in baseball that you see.
It's the internal brace. That's the same company. Great name. Another same company, great name, Tightrope. They have great catchphrase names. They've got good products, but it's not revolution. It's not because of the speed bridge that will make them play in January. Look, you wait mid-season, assuming the Jets don't go 0-for or whatever.
Right, riding the ship a little bit, yeah.
You're going to see Aaron Rodgers on the sidelines with a headset, moving around pretty good in a boot. Mm-hmm. Right now, if you see him, he's going to be in a scooter or on crutches. Okay.
They're not going to let him down there until he can walk.
Yeah, on a boot. Yeah, he's going to be, he can't be on the sideline in a scooter.
You can't get out of the way.
Crutches. I mean, okay. Maybe a headset. Now remember, Aaron's got to be back in with the team because there's no electronic communications off site. He can't be at home on a headset.
Right.
You can't have that.
So the bridge, it doesn't speed up. It just strengthens the repair, I guess.
Provides some temporary strength to maybe be a little more aggressive on rehab. Maybe.
Okay.
But it doesn't, it's not a biologic. It's a piece of fiber,
right?
You know, it's, you still need biological healing. But here's the thing. Everyone's like, Doc, you're crazy to say that he could return. Cam Akers was 23. Aaron Rodgers is going to be 40.
Yeah.
And Cam Akers took 6 months. This, how's Aaron Rodgers going to beat him? Well, first of all, you know my line by now. To me, Cam Akers is young and so is Aaron Rodgers, because younger than me is young, okay?
It's a big category.
Yeah. It's a big, yeah, thank, okay. Getting bigger all the time. But my point is this. The position of quarterback is just that different. Look, if Joe Burrow were a DB, there wouldn't be a choice for him to play. Look at Juan Thornhill,
the calf,
you know, in Monday night's game. It's positional in nature. It's his front foot, and he's a quarterback. And my McAfee line last week was in reference to the quote, essentially guarantee that he'll be ready to go for start of next season.
Right.
But I think you can apply here some. Aaron Rodgers, half step slow, is still faster than Tom Brady at 45. Pat's guy, Peyton Manning, throughout his career, and faster than my guy, Phillip Rivers, at the age of 25, right?
Manning too, right? Yeah, all the Mannings.
Whatever. I mean, I'm not hating on anybody. My point is, what's the needle to thread? Mm-hmm. Number one, the Jets get them to the playoffs, get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Number two, whoever takes them there, Zach Wilson, whoever, gets injured. If Zach Wilson takes him to the playoffs, how are you pulling him? We talked about this last year for your 49ers. If Brock Purdy gets you to the Super Bowl, you're going to put Jimmy G right back in? No. Cold and, you know, I get it. Jimmy G, Aaron Rodgers, different. But a hobbled Aaron Rodgers or a healthy Zach Wilson who's took you to the playoffs, you're going to keep riding that horse.
Right.
So if they get to the playoffs, something happens to the quarterback that gets them there, and Aaron Rodgers makes a great recovery and plays in an AFO, and he's the option to go, then maybe. So that's why I call it a snowball, snowball's chance.
Do players like playing with the AFOs? Or,
no.
Yeah. Okay. I figure they did.
It limits them.
Okay.
It's not a help. It limits them. They don't like it. But if that's what you need to do.
Yeah.
Do wide receivers like playing with knee braces?
No.
I was thinking technology.
Do offensive linemen like it? They're required in college and then come to the pros, they don't want to wear it.
Yeah. Not interesting. All right, well, let's get to Beast of the Week real quick. Controversial one. Brendan Schooler is the special teamer that came running in, apparently from the sidelines, but he was just lined up out wide and got that magical field goal block for the Patriots against the Dolphins last night. We got the clip. I'm going to cut it in. But
Doc, do you think it's magical?
Do you think it's magic? Do you think it's going to change up the way kickers set up for field goals?
Bill Belichick is the mad scientist. And this one, I'll give it to him. He found a way to exploit this, but who are you fooling? You're out there to do what? Yep. Lollygag? There's no gunner out there. I think this ultimately can potentially fool more people on punts, but there is a personal protector on punts,
right,
which is the difference. And what I mean by that is there's a reason for the guy to be out there, or I'm double teaming the gunner and then I'm timing the run in, and you've seen that before. There's no reason for that guy to be out there.
Right.
So all that's going to happen is, okay, wing look guy, you got to look out there. If there's a guy out there, that's your guy. Tap the guy next to you. The guy in front of you is his guy. Yeah. Okay. You just slide down one, and then that's done. You can change the snap count.
Right.
You can do, I look at it as a gimmick thing. That's a 1 week. Good on them. They got a field goal block. They didn't get the win.
Is that watching film? Like they just saw that guy sometimes is late on stuff on the corners?
It's done all the time, you know, that, you know, you are looking for little clues.
I mean,
you know, is the guy's mouthpiece in or out? What does it mean?
Is he
a split 3 inches wider? What does that mean?
Right.
You know, on the online. Yeah. You study film and you look at tendencies. And if it's a kicker's cadence, all you have to do is change it. Now, look, the other way to do it is just continue to not change the cadence. Make sure the wing accounts for that guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Stay on the exact same cadence.
That's the easiest fix, right? It's just the wing notices.
And guess what? On a key moment when it's 4th and 3 and you're kicking the field goal, alter the snap count and the guy's offsides.
Right. Yeah.
Keep doing the same snap count for the next 3 weeks.
Yes.
Just have this guy kick out to block and say, no, our kicker likes this snap count. Keep doing the same snap count and then alternate at that key moment. And guess what? If it doesn't work, what can you do? Just call timeout and then go kick on the same cadence again if the kicker really doesn't like the cadence.
It seems like an easy fix,
I think it's much to do. I don't love that for Beast of the Week. You know what I'd give for the Beast of the Week? I think DK Metcalf took a really hard shot along the goal line, the ribs, in the area of his kidneys. And I was dubious that he would return. But perhaps what I didn't factor in is that DK Metcalf wears a flak jacket.
Yeah.
365 days a year.
He's so muscular. I was like, you're just talking about players not wanting to add extra stuff. I was like, what?
Yeah, I think he's got a flak jacket there. That's what saves him from rib fracture or kidney injury.
What'd you call him when he got drafted? Adonis, right? That's basically what that is.
I mean, I got to give Beast of the Week to DK Metcalf. I think that hit knocks almost everyone out.
That's fair.
And the dude has a flak jacket on. He runs around with one everywhere he goes.
Yes,
all right.
Does.
So I will give him Beast of the Week. He returned to the game.
Jigar, I like this third one. I don't know if it's Beast, but like maybe touching story of the week.
I decided to give it a shout out. Shaq Barrett had the pick six on Justin Fields, read the screenplay right. And then after the game, he dedicated to his late daughter, 2-year-old that died in a drowning accident.
That's happy and sad.
That's a touching story, not Beast. Touching story.
I'm going to give DK the beat.
You took
that shot. This timing thing, it's okay. But
you thought he had a lacerated.
I was worried that
liver.
That he might have a kidney issue ribs. He would have broken ribs, but he returned to the game. I don't know if he got an injection or not. The lacerated liver was the college kid, Travis Hunter.
That's right. Yes.
I mean. Got hit hard.
He wasn't wearing a flak jacket, right?
Not many humans are. He got blown up there.
There was a fight before the game. There was a lot of animosity before.
That's why I tweeted. I said, like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not even an internal medicine guy, but that hit, I go, you know, hopefully there's no internal organ damage for the hospital stuff because he tried to stay in a little bit.
Right.
My worry was lacerated liver, and now I guess that's been confirmed. Yeah. Good news, no surgery. He'll be back. There goes his Heisman hopes, but he'll be back this season.
Ohtani of football, apparently. Yeah. Cornerback and wide receiver.
No Oregon game, no USC game. So that's going to be a big,
at least
schedule for him.
At least health first, but you know, he'll be back to normal.
Right.
No issues. Full career trajectory.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks for watching Sports Injury Central. Pro Football Doc podcast on the Believe Network. Go to sicscore.com. I'm telling you, you guys are killing it with Sick Insights, man. Updated everything and the videos.
Keep going,
good
checking
stuff.
Out.
Yep. And free pick 'em every week.
Yeah.
We don't have the final results yet.
$3,000.
$3,000 guaranteed
to the winner.
To the winner. And I guess they're saying if you pick better than I do, which I mean,
this week was easy, I guess.
Easy because I did poorly. I don't even know. How did I do this week? I don't know
where you are.
Our official sick picks through the algorithm were pretty good, but you know, I don't know. I'm not a Tinder guy. The swipe.
Yep.
Okay. I swiped. I think I swiped the correct way.
Left or right. You never know. Yep.
So I don't know what my score is there, but hopefully a lot of people beat me and they get the free week of sick picks for next week. All right. Thanks for watching and listening. And, we'll catch you next week.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you gotta check out NexGard Plus, ofoxaconazole, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease, plus it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus Chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.